from 3CR, broadcasting in Melbourne on 855am and 3CR Digital, and streaming around the world at 3cr.org.au. This is the Victorian Jazz Club's weekly program, Jazz on a Saturday. I'm John Smythe, and today's program will be a tribute to the late Chris Barber, trombonist, bandleader for 70 years, and a progenitor of the great British trad movement of the 50s and 60s. Welcome to Jazz on a Saturday. Chris Barber's jazz band from their 1959 hit single, that was the B-side of Petite Fleur, which was what really gained them fame both in Europe and in America. But that was Thriller Rag. We'll get to Petite Fleur and the lead-up to it and the subsequent success of the Barber band a little later in the program. Chris Barber died at the beginning of this month, just a few weeks short of his 91st birthday. During the remainder of this program, I invite you to join me in exploring some of his music from those seven decades, particularly those formative years in the 50s and 60s. The Chris Barber Band was one of the originators, and if not the originator, of the British trad movement that bloomed in the late 50s and early 60s. But as many of those other bands subsequently withered or fell from public view, the Chris Barber Band has maintained its position over seven decades, with, until 2 years ago, Chris actively in the lead. Only 2 years ago, Chris was forced to step back from performing because of the increasing impact of dementia. His legacy will continue because of his third millennium embodiment in the big Chris Barber Band, formed in partnership with fellow trombonist and Duke Ellington devotee Bob Hunt. Here, from the first recording of the Big Chris Barber Band in 2001, a tune that was Chris Barber's theme over many decades, Bourbon Street Parade.
Thank you.
The Big Chris Barber Band and Bourbon Street Parade. Donald Christopher Barber was born on the 17th of April 1930, a particularly auspicious year.
1930 must have been a particularly good year because we have three birthdays in 2 months. Pat Halcox this month is having his 70th birthday, yourself next month, and Kenny Ball the following month.
That's right, yes, it was a good, very good year. I had a funny experience in Switzerland. There's a company that produces a rather unusual birthday card. Mm. And the birthday card is for people who are born a certain year. Mm. And inside it says, it's all in German, congratulations, you are one of a select group of people, yourself, Claude Chabrol, Clint Eastwood and Chris Barber.
That's a collector's item.
I bought some copies of that, I can tell you.
Chris's parents, a statistician father and a headmistress mother, lived in Welwyn Garden City in Hertfordshire. His musical career started at age 7 when he began playing the violin. His interest in jazz began when he was evacuated from London during World War II and he began collecting the few 78 records of jazz that were available. Returning to London after the war, he was educated at St. Paul's School in London and started visiting clubs to hear jazz groups. He spent 3 years at the Guildhall School of Music, learning trombone and bass. It was there he met Alexis Corner and started playing music with him and other friends. He formed his first band, playing a trombone that he bought for £6.50 from the trombonist in Humphrey Littleton's band. A bad deal, he recalled, barely worth £2. It was in bad shape, tied together with string and fell apart during his first gig. His first records with the band were made at the end of the 1940s. Let Chris tell the story.
The music which you are listening to now is from the first recording session by my first amateur band. It was, in fact, the first time that we saw the inside of a recording studio, so we were just a little bit nervous. Our clarinet player and my best friend at that time and co-organizer of the band was Alex Revel, a great follower of the work of Johnny Dodds, the wonderful clarinet player, one of whose recordings was this tune, Gate Knife. I was a follower of the trombone playing of Honoré Dutré of King Oliver's band, and in the next chorus, I actually stole one of his breaks from a record. I'm sorry, Honoré. The best player in the band was our cornetist, Hugh Middleton, a very nice player indeed, who unfortunately took in his head to join the Navy, and we never saw him again. Very much of the classic jazz of the 1920s, King Oliver, Johnny Dodds and Louis Armstrong. We really tried to play like them and we recorded many of their tunes at this session, but this was the best, so we chose it for you to hear. Only a few months after this recording, we had the band much better organized. We had a second trumpeter in order to have the sound more like King Oliver's great band. And 2 years later, we made the recordings you're going to hear next. ¶¶
a 1951 recording of an early Chris Barber band, in King Oliver II trumpet format, with trumpeters Ben Cohen and Dickie Horden, the rest of the band comprising Alex Revel on clarinet, Brian Baker on piano, Ferdy Faberge on banjo, Brillo Ford on bass and Brian Laws on drums, the tune being Oliver's Canal Street Blues. The decision was made shortly after this recording that the band would be reduced in size, and the piano was eliminated from the lineup. It would return only occasionally with contributions from Johnny Duncan or Ottilie Patterson. Trumpeter Ben Cohen subsequently went on to have a substantial career in music on his own. Here, he and Alex Revel feature in a small group with the rhythm section as above, except for Chris Barber taking up the bass, something he would do regularly throughout his career. This is the Jimmy Blythe tune, Brown Skin Mama. Skin Mama, recorded by a breakdown group for the 1951 Chris Barber Band. Chris was supposed to be following in his father's footsteps and was training to be an actuary. I've heard someone describe an actuary as an accountant who found the work too exciting. So, it was no real surprise when he and clarinetist Monty Sunshine decided to go professional in 1952, and they formed a cooperative band. When Ben Cohen and Dickie Horden had moved on, a young trumpeter, Pat Halcox, who had played with other amateur groups, had joined the emerging band for a while. When asked to join the band on a professional basis, he decided that his chemistry career was more important than music and declined the opportunity to turn professional. Looking for a replacement, they invited the recently returned Ken Collier to take the role of trumpet and leader, a move that was a great boost to the subsequent career of Chris Barber. Collier's band was a byword for New Orleans authenticity, helped by the fact that after working his passage to the home of jazz, the trumpeter had been deported for outstaying his visa in order to play with the city's legendary jazz musicians. However, The rest of the band had a wider view of jazz than the strict New Orleans style favoured by Collier, an example of which you heard in Jeff's program last week. In 1954, Ken Collier left the band, or was sacked by the others, depending on whom you ask. The remaining members appointed Chris Barber as leader and persuaded trumpeter Pat Halcox to leave Chemistry for a professional music career. Pat was to stay in Barber's various bands until 2008, their 54-year partnership being unparalleled in British jazz. a popular track from the Chris Barber Band's 1955 album, Echoes of Harlem. And we heard the Field McHugh composition, Magnolia's Wedding Day. The band personnel on that album was Chris Barber on trombone, Pat Halcock's trumpet, Monty Sunshine on clarinet, Lonnie Donegan on banjo, Ron Barden on drums, and Mickey Ashman on the bass. Well, his band that was formed in the 1954 would also find success with singer Ottilie Patterson. Born in County Down in 1931, she studied piano classically, but she first heard the music of Bessie Smith, Jelly Roll Morton and Meadlux Lewis while studying art in Belfast, and eventually formed her own band in 1952. While in London on holiday in the summer of 1954, she met Beryl Bryden, who first introduced her to Ken Collier, without success, until at the end of the night, when an impromptu session with Johnny Parker got her noticed. Days later, she was introduced to Chris Barber, who invited her to try out with his band, where she sang for the rest of the summer break, before returning to Belfast. Chris invited her to join the band, and the first performance with them in January 1955 was at Royal Festival Hall. Small in stature but with a huge authentic blues voice, her vocal contributions added glamour to the band's popularity and fame. Here she is with the band at the end of 1956, at a performance released as the first of the Chris Barber in Concert series. Not singing, but playing piano in the company of Chris Barber on bass and Johnny Duncan on guitar, this is Bearcat Crawl. Patterson at the piano, with Johnny Duncan on guitar and Chris Barber on bass, and Bearcat Crawl, recorded in the Royal Festival Hall in December 1956 and released as the first of the Chris Barber in Concert LPs. Several LPs were released under Ottilie Patterson's name, with all tracks featuring her vocals accompanied by the rest of the Barber Band. Stephen Grant's mother commented to me once that, in England at the time, every girl wanted to be Ottilie Patterson, Ottilie married Chris Barber in 1959, the marriage lasting until 1983. From 1963, Ottilie gave up regular appearances with the band due to health reasons. She returned to her home in Comer, Northern Ireland, but spent the last 4 years of her life in a care home in Ayr, Scotland, where she died in 2011. But she was returned to be buried in her parents' home county in Northern Ireland. Here is one of her last recordings with the band, made in Prague in 1970. Appropriately enough, it is her version of Star of the County Down. Patterson with the Chris Barber Band in Prague in 1970, and what was possibly her last recording with the Chris Barber Band, and her arrangement of the Irish tune Star of the County Down. Well, Chris Barber had a close musical relationship with Tony, later Lonnie Donegan, the band's original banjoist. The pair often included a short set of skiffle, American country blues and folk songs, as a breakdown set during their performances. These became popular, and so at the end of the recording session for New Orleans Joys in 1954, several tracks were recorded by a skiffle group with Lonnie Donegan on vocals and banjo, Chris Barber on bass and Beryl Bryden on washboard. The 1954 recording of Rock Island Line was released as a single in 1955 under the title of the Lonnie Donegan Skiffle Group. It became the first debut vocal recording to become a certified gold disc in the UK. The single also reached the top 10 in the US, peaking at number 8. This wasn't the song's first English recording. George Melly had recorded it for the small British jazz label Tempo under the name The George Melly Trio, featuring Johnny Parker on piano and Norman Dodsworth on drums, and they were both members of Mick Mulligan's Magnolia Jazz Band, with whom Melly was the singer. The new skiffle style captivated an entire generation of post-war youth in England, and is quoted by various later famous musicians as a catalyst for their musical development. For example, skiffle was played by the Beatles in their early years, and paved the way for the 1960s guitar pop and rock revolution.
Now this here's a story about the Rock Island Line. The Rock Island Line, she runs down into New Orleans. And just outside of New Orleans, there's a big toll gate. And all the trains, they go through the toll gate while they gotta pay the man some money. But of course, if you got certain things on board, you're okay, you don't have to pay the man nothing. And just now we see a train, she coming down the line. And when she come up near the toll gate, the driver, he shout down to the man. He say, I got pigs, I got horses, I got cows, I got sheep, I got all livestock, I got all livestock, I got all livestock. And the man say, well, you all right, boy, just get on through, you don't have to pay me nothing. And the train go through. And when you go through the toll gate, the train get up a little bit of steam and a little bit of speed. And when the driver think he's safely on the other side, he shout back down the line to the man. He said, I fooled you, I fooled you. I got pig iron, I got pig iron, I got old pig iron. And I'll tell you where I'm going, boy. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is a road to ride. Yes, the Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. And if you want to ride, you got to ride it like you find to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. I may be right, may be wrong, you know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is a road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. And if you want to ride, you got to ride it like you find to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Hallelujah, I'm safe from sin. The good Lord's coming for to see me again. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is a road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. And if you want to ride, you gotta ride it like you're trying to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. A, B, C, W, X, Y, Z. Cat's on the cover, but he don't see me. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. The Rock Island Line is a road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. And if you want to ride, you gotta ride it like you're trying to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island Line, you're road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. And if you want to ride, you gotta ride it like you're trying to get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line.
Rock Island Line, the runaway hit for Lonnie Donegan with Chris Barber on bass, released in 1955. The Penguin Book of American Folk Songs, compiled and with notes by Alan Lomax, published in 1964, made these comments about Rock Island Line. John A. Lomax recorded this song at the Cummins State Prison Farm, Gould, Arkansas, in 1934 from its convict composer Kelly Pace. The Negro singer Leadbelly heard it, rearranged it in his own style, and made commercial phonograph recordings of it in the 1940s. One of these recordings was studied and imitated phrase by phrase by a young English singer of American folk songs, guess who subsequently recorded it for an English company. The record sold in the hundreds of thousands in the US and England, and this Arkansas Negro convict song, as adapted by Leadbelly, was published as a personal copyright, words and music, by someone whose contact with the Rock Island Line was entirely through the grooves of a phonograph record. Not for the first time, and probably not the last. In 1956, emerging filmmakers Carol Reiss and Tony Richardson directed the influential short film Mama Don't Allow, which filmed the Barber Band live at one of their regular club gigs as a project to document London's trad jazz scene. The location was the jazz club at the back of the Fishmonger's Arms in Wood Green on one of the regular Sunday night gigs. Here from the film's soundtrack, so please excuse the quality, is their live version in the film of the title tune, Mama Don't Allow. Filmed live by Tony Richardson in 1956 at the Wood Green Jazz Club, the Chris Barber Jazz Band and Mama Don't Allow. The film can today be found on YouTube. Just search Mama Don't Allow. During 1956, the Sidney Bechet tune of a few years previously, Petite Fleur, was being performed at gigs as a feature for Monty Sunshine's clarinet, with just a rhythm of Dick Bishop on electric guitar, Dick Smith on bass and Ron Bowden on drums. It was recorded at the studio session which produced the LP Chris Barber Plays, Volume 3. In 1959, reacting to the band's rising popularity, that performance of Petite Fleur was chosen for release as a single, with Thriller Rag from the same session as the B-side. It became a runaway hit in the pop charts, reaching number 3 in the UK and number 5 in the American Top 100. It was number 1 in Sweden for several weeks. This hit was their entree card to the USA, with the band touring there several times over the next few years. In some quarters, Chris Barber was hailed as the man who brought jazz back to America. The irony is that Chris Barber does not actually play on that recording. The band managed to gain several tours of the USA in the next few years. In 1960, Chris found himself in New York and arranged a session which was recorded under the title of Chris Barber's American Jazz Band, the lineup including Sidney DeParis, Edmund Hall, Hank Duncan, Hayes Elvis, and Joe Marshall. From that session, here is Little Liza Jane.
Let's get together now. Talk about this old gal, Liza Jane.
Little Liza Jane.
Boy, you gotta get it, I gotta get it.
Little Liza Jane.
gonna get it straight. I'm gonna get it straight. We went out last night and had a ball. Yes, we went out last night and had a ball. Boy, I found out that my gal didn't have no hair at all. Oh, 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 Miss Liza. Oh, Miss Liza. Go now.
Little Liza Jane, recorded by Chris Barber in New York in 1960. The 1960s marked a transition for the Chris Barber Band, transforming itself to the Chris Barber Jazz and Blues Band. I asked Chris in 2000 how this transition had come about.
We'd always played blues stuff, but when you don't have a guitar, just a banjo and no piano, you see people identify music much more by the sound of it than by the feeling of it. Mm-hmm. And you can play blues all the feeling you like in the world, but if you play it on the harp and the banjo, people say it isn't blues, it's something else, you see. So anyway, we'd been playing blues stuff, and we had a blues guitar player named Alexis Corner, who joined up with us for about 6 months. But Alexis, who I'd known for years and was at school with, he wanted to get a band to play that sort of music all night. And the horn player said, well, hang on a minute, playing R&B all night, the trumpet and trombone and reeds go ba-ba-da-da, over and over again. This is not what we started playing for, you know? Quite right. So Alexis then formed his own band, Blues Incorporated, with people like Charlie Watts and all those in it, Jack Bruce, and that was the beginning of British Rhythm and Blues. We liked playing half an hour a night, you know, kind of Chicago blues, and we wanted a guitar player who could play rhythm guitar for us the rest of the time, because we liked the banjo and guitar sound in the rhythm section. It took us 3 years to find one, which was John Slaughter, and he was only 19 at the time, his first pro gig, and he played really well, and many things he plays just about the same now as he did then. We built up from there with him very much. Of course, those 3 years before he joined us was the onset of beat music and the Beatles and all this sort of things, and guitars and fuzzy hair and everything. And John had fuzzy hair and a red guitar when he joined us. So some of the trad fans said, oh, it's a cheat now, you're just going commercial. If we'd been going commercial, we'd be playing what you want, not what I want. And we're not playing what you want, so it can't be commercial. It's personal.
Yeah. Is that blues guitar sound as part of the lineup possibly a bridge to a younger, more contemporary audience?
I haven't noticed it, really, to be honest. It's a bridge to play music how we like it. Mm. That's the point. And I cannot conceive of a jazz band that can't play and doesn't play the blues. I've always done it. Many things that we played when we first started, for example, our clarinet player, Monty Sunshine, didn't play saxophone well, except the soprano occasionally. So anything which we felt really needed a saxophone, we couldn't do it. Mm. Later on, we got players who could play saxophones. That part of the sound we've achieved much later. Now, some of the fans said, well, you bought the saxophone, it was much better when you didn't have one. I said, well, hang on a minute, we were playing tunes then that demanded a saxophone. Oh no, I like them better that way. Oh, okay. But yeah, it's like that's like saying I'd rather hear soul music played by Vic Sylvester.
the Chris Barber Jazz and Blues Band, and Sideways, recorded in 1965. This is Jazz on a Saturday. I'm John Smythe, and this is a program in tribute to the late Chris Barber, who died earlier this month. Chris Barber Band in 1956, revisiting his earlier two-trumpet sound from 1951 with the assistance of second trumpeter Ben Cohen and Tuxedo Rag. Well, here in Melbourne, we're fortunate to have another Chris who is a band leader, plays trombone and occasional bass, and has been a band leader for decades. However, he hasn't been to the Guildhall School of Music, doesn't drive fast cars, and as far as I know, has never been married to Ottilie Patterson. Welcome, Chris Ludovic.
Hello, John. Got an interesting introduction there.
Oh, right. Well, you know, I was always struck by the similarity between the two of you and being called Chris as well. You started to get interested in jazz in about 1959, which was the start of the revival in Melbourne, particularly in the formation of the Melbourne Jazz Club.
Yeah. Actually, a little bit earlier, John, probably about 57, 58.
Uh-huh. Because you, I believe you were starting to do a bit of playing even as a teenager.
Oh, just fiddling around on piano. And playing hand trombone parts, you know, like the Mills Brothers doing all that vocalization. I discovered jazz in Colombo, you know, and I was about 13, 14, having grown up with classical music and still a major love of my life as well. So I didn't get out to Australia until 1962, when I was 18. So I came in at the tail end of jazz dance. My elder brother and I came out first to smooth the path for the rest of the family to follow.
Trailblazer.
Yes. So I stayed with my uncle in East Bentley and discovered that there were jazz dancers around the place. The Ormond Fishing and Angling Club was one of them, I think, or Ormond RSL, I think, at that time. Gasworks. So I caught the tail end of it.
Chris Barber, and in fact, the British trad scene tended to dominate the airwaves, and we were very much British aligned then. Is Any of that an influence on the way that you developed the books for New Harlem and Syncopators?
The very early stuff was really novelty, the novelty tunes. Ian Smith had a lot of input into the selection of some of those tunes, some of which I'd never heard before. But yeah, some of the early Cotton Club stuff was the stuff that I used to love to arrange for that band. Yeah.
Is there, from your early listening to Chris Barber, any particular track that stands out in your memory that struck you as really typical of the Barber band?
Yeah, I think one of the very early records, it was called Barber's Best, and I think a lot of the tracks came from the concert he did at Festival Hall. One of the tracks was Ottilie Patterson singing Mean Mistreater.
I think Ottilie was a great asset to the Chris Barber band and an amazing person who, first of all, being born in Northern Ireland, was able to capture the sound of an authentic blues performance. Thanks. And I think that really struck me.
Yes, that's exactly how I felt about it too, just that authentic sound, you know.
Don't mean me no good. You're a mean mistreating daddy, and you don't mean me no good. But I don't blame you, baby. I'd be the same way if I could. You said you're gonna leave me. You said you're going away. Well, you said you're gonna leave me. You said you's gone away. But remember, baby, maybe you'll come back home someday. On your door, you had the nerve to tell me you didn't want me no more. Do you remember, baby? I knocked upon your door, and you had the nerve to tell me you didn't want me no more. Sleeping all by yourself when the one that you love is loving someone else.
Chris Barber with vocalist Ottilie Patterson from that first in-concert recording from December 1956 and Mean Mistreater. Well, Chris had always been interested in the blues aspect of jazz. He nurtured Alexis Corner, who'd played in Barber's band before his group Blues Incorporated became a breeding ground for stars, including the Rolling Stones and Cream. Wanting to enhance the presence of blues in the repertoire, in 1964 Chris Barber added electric guitarist John Slaughter to his band, which eventually became the Chris Barber Jazz and Blues Band. Chris Ludovic, what did you think of the shift in emphasis of the band, the expansion to blues, and also the slightly more contemporary approach adopted in later years?
At the time, I thought, that's not the Chris Barber I'd like to hear. It sounded, you know, a little bit different to my ear, but of course, with the passage of time, it's there's nothing wrong with it. I quite like it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Just that it was totally different, and I thought, that's quite a departure. Although I love some of the other departures he did. You know, for example, doing Golden Striker, which is the John Lewis thing from the Modern Jazz Quartet. I thought Chris's arrangement of that was really good with the banjo and the trombone and trumpet.
Chris Barber Band in 1961 and their arrangement of Golden Striker. Chris Ludovic, is there another track that was particularly interesting to you in that period of Chris Barber's musical development?
Another one of his LPs I really loved was the Elite Syncopations, where he played, overdubbed himself three or four trombones at a time, you know? Some really, really nice stuff on that. Bohemia Rag, which I used to try and try and play, but I couldn't get my chops around it at the time. That's a great one.
Well, Chris, look, thank you very much for your comments and observations about the emergence of the Chris Barber Band in Australia, and all the best for your continuing career with the Syncopators.
Thank you.
Bohemia Rag with the trombone trio of Chris Barber, Chris Barber and Chris Barber. A final reminder that Jazz on a Saturday is presented here on 3CR by the Victorian Jazz Club, who also present live jazz at the Clayton RSL. Next Saturday night, the 27th, between 8 and 11, it'll be Pippa Wilson and Jazz Notes. Pippa Wilson, a popular VJC vocalist, will entertain you in great style, accompanied by Anne Craig on flute, Kevin Blaze on guitar, Todd Sidney on piano, Leon Heal on double bass and Dean Cooper on drums. Bookings are essential, so to avoid missing out, visit the VJC website, vjc.org.au, or phone Virginia 9570-5884 or Rhonda 9874-8870. Today's program has been a personal tribute to the life of jazz great Chris Barber, who died earlier this month after a 70-year career in jazz. This program can be heard again for another 7 days by visiting 3cr.org.au/jazz. To take out today's program, a composition of Chris called Sikosh, C-S-I-K-O-S, recorded at the Congress House, Wienfelden in Switzerland in 1974. It's based on a couple of tunes from the Balkan region that Chris heard, and its structure is intriguing and challenging. In 1978, I asked Chris about the time signature, and his answer was basically, as written. I think there might be some 11-4 in there, but I keep losing count. See how you go. Vale Chris Barber, 17th of April 1930 to 2nd of March 2021. I hope that you'll join us again next week when the presenter will be John Trudigo. For now, This is John Smyth on behalf of the Victorian Jazz Club saying Auf Wiederhören.
3CR.